Chief Matt Misseldine, nice enough to come in. I know you are just spent. You guys spent a lot of time from the time you got the call Friday afternoon till just up to yesterday morning. Tell us about this, which is becoming all too familiar.
Oh, yeah. We got the call about, I think the call came in at 3:50 Friday afternoon. We got down there, got on the water pretty quick. Got a search completed. We covered about almost 4 miles of river Friday afternoon pretty fast. And were able to recover the kayaks that the guy was in, according to the party that was with him. But after doing that, we started back for a more detailed search up the banks, checking to see if maybe he had gotten out and gotten lost. You know, maybe he got out like on the east side of the river and was having to walk out, that kind of thing. So we had police officers going up and down the roads looking for people, that sort of thing. And we just sort of started escalating our search. And then Saturday morning, we had a really big ground search lined up. We had Elmore County Search and Rescue came in and helped us. Our problem was that the power company was having so much water to deal with, we couldn't start our dive operation like we wanted to. That delayed us a good bit. The power company is real good to work with us, but of course they have to deal with water. I mean, they can't just close it off indefinitely. So,
I mean, then they've got the threat of the gates falling.
Exactly. They were good enough to change their generation schedule Saturday to help us out. And we were able to get to a point Saturday we could do some diving. But they were able to open up a window for us yesterday morning, Sunday morning, to where they went to zero flow. They gave us 7 hours of zero flow, and that's what allowed us to be able to find him. Without them being able to go to zero flow, we really don't have that good of a shot, just because there's so many places that the current won't let a diver get. So,
well, where did you find him?
And this is, I've heard before. I mean, does the body get ledged under a rock or something?
Generally, that's what happens. And that's where we concentrate our areas. There are two the places where we normally have been going, unfortunately. There's the rock area at the Big Eddy that comes down from the falls there, probably maybe 150 yards down. And there's rocks and a lot in there, and then you have smooth riverbed down to the boat ramp, and you have two more rock shelves. And those are the places that we look, because that's where people get hung up. You know, it's people don't float mid level. They either go to the bottom or they stay on top. So
you always know that's probably where it's going to be, don't you?
Yeah, the rule of thumb is that ever how deep the water is, there will be in a circle that big around on the bottom of the river, or radius that big. So if they're in 20 feet of water, they'll be in a circle 40 feet deep when you last see them go.
Is that where you found them?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Our problem was we didn't have a good point last seen. But this was very close to where our point last seen was. This is the problem we've had before down there with the fishermen that died last year. when nobody actually sees them go under, it's really hard for us to be able to pinpoint. Because if we see where somebody goes under, there's a good chance we can get a diver in there and get them out. And there's a fair chance they might even live.
Yeah.
But without being able to narrow down a point last seen, if they last see them swimming, it's really
that's what
really
happened hard. Here they right. Last saw him swimming,
right? The people that were with him, they last saw him right before they went over the last set of falls. So
where is this? Is it the Big Eddy? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that was the last set. They had all been dumped out of their kayaks by then, and the victim was out in front of him. He had already been over the falls, and the two witnesses, they were coming over behind him, and when they come over, they didn't see him anymore.
Now, I mentioned earlier, and I just want to make sure I'm accurate, none of the three had on life preservers?
I don't think so. I don't know that we were able to verify that. We know the victim didn't, obviously, and are reasonably sure the other two didn't.
Were they novices? Did that any of that come into play, that you asked them if they'd done this before, if it was first time on this river?
From what I understand about the victim, he had done it before. I don't know what you could call his experience level. I don't know that you would call him experienced, because some of the very experienced kayakers we see on a regular basis down here, the ones that operate safely, they wear their helmets, they wear their life jackets. I mean, the guys that really take the river seriously and know it, that they weren't familiar with him. So that leads me to believe that he wasn't just completely experienced, but it doesn't sound like he was a novice either. You know, he was somewhere in the middle there. It's just really hard to tell where. So,
Well, yeah. Is there, do you know much about that? I know Rhett's coming in. We'll talk about him a little bit. He's got the instructor shirt on. Because he teaches people about this stuff. But if somebody's down there and they were to go in there, is it best to not try to fight it? I've always heard that it'll kind of shoot you out if you let it take you down. But
The biggest mistake people make, one, is not wearing their life jackets. You've got a life jacket on and you get caught up in current, the best thing is to get over on your back and let it take you. You either need to get into an eddy, which is the little whirlpool that forms behind rocks and things on the side, or just get in calm, flowing water before you try to put your feet down. That's one of the most dangerous things, is try to put your feet down in moving water, because rocks can catch your foot and you become foot entrapped. And depending on the depth of the water, that can be deadly.
Well, I could see myself not knowing anything about this, and your natural instinct would be to try to swim away.
Right. Trying to get out.
But as soon as you go down and you're down for a while and you're fighting it, then you're taking in water and it's too late, I assume.
Right. Well, is there any state laws? I mean, obviously, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, you can't prosecute in this case, but is there any state laws or local laws that require a life jacket?
Not that I'm aware of. Even if there are, the problem is, and we talked about this with the Marine Police this weekend, you know, just in some of our lull times and standing around talking, even if there are laws on the books that you may be able to enforce like that, how do you enforce them? I mean, we can't station somebody at the boat ramp 24/7, you know, that kind of thing. So it's one of those things that even if there's a law, we still have to have people using common sense.
Is there anything we could do that you know of?
We've got
things safer.
We've got some warning plans in place. Obviously, this is going to accelerate them. We've already gotten the ball rolling on a good bit of this, and there's two areas we're looking at. One is just a general education type sign. We're trying to work with a power company to put one at the boat ramp under Thurlow, where these guys put in, and then also down here at the boat ramp. Hopefully we'll cover the PFDs. The life jackets, to say wear your life jackets, whether you're fishing, anything. If you're within what we say is 100 feet of the river, because you can be 100 feet of the river, slip on that steep bank and fall all the way to the river, you need a life jacket on. If you're where you can fall in, you need a life jacket on. The other thing is a warning system to let people know, even if you're out in the river with a life jacket on, in the river fishing, like on a rock, we want to put in some warning sirens so that it'd be just like the siren at the dam to let them know when they start generating. But it's this far down, you can't hear it. So we want to add some sirens down here. That way you can know, okay, they're starting to generate, even though I can't see the water rising yet.
Didn't you say that this was about the worst you've seen the water, just because of the water level coming?
Definitely. It was, I'd say the water was probably 4 feet over what would be normal for what they were generating at the time. It was a good 10 feet over what minimum flow is. It was up there.
Well, now I've been down, and I don't think most people, because it caught me by surprise, because I don't kayak, but I went down the east side of the river, Lower Tuskegee Road, and there's a couple of streets that turn off to the right, and I can't recall their names, but I was down at a house and I was looking at the river, and I was shocked at how fast that river's flowing. I mean, it just caught me totally by surprise on how fast that water really flows. And I was thinking then, you know, if I got in that water, I'm doomed.
And you put up up top, of course, you know nothing about it. You don't see it till you. I mean, up top, it looks like, oh, this will be an easy afternoon stroll, you know. But
that's where the novice level comes in. The more experienced people are going to know to scout out the rapids.
Yeah.
They're going to put their kayak on the bank. They're going to walk down and look and find their line down through there, and then come back and kayak it.
Man, I don't think these guys did that.
No.
Did you? I mean, what were the guys like? I mean,
it was a guy and a girl that were with them. They were just in disbelief Friday. You can imagine how terrible it is. I hate it for them.
I can't imagine. And the family I know came down as well. And this, was he from North Carolina? Is that correct? I heard those.
Yeah.
And which is rapid. There's some white water up there too, I know. Oh, yeah. But and he went to he's a student at Auburn.
I think so.
Yeah, young man. Sad story. Another one, unfortunately for us. Chief, we appreciate you coming down today. I know you've been spent. As I said earlier, I know you guys have been working night and day.
And I think what's truly sad is, you know, we can sit here and honestly say this won't be the last.
Yep. It doesn't seem like it will be. It continues to happen, as you said, a couple times every year. One thing about it, when you talk about that water level and you've never seen it like this, that's what excites these people who do this. It's, oh boy, it's up. You know, it's like all this rain, it's going to be great. It's also more dangerous. So the Tattlesee Fire Chief, Matt Misseldine, thank you. Appreciate you coming in today.